began asking you tonight, what's the greatest gift you've ever received? Maybe you're thinking back to like birthdays, or you're thinking back to, you know, getting a bike as a kid, or getting that one cell phone you always wanted. But the question I have is that if that's what you were talking about, that was the content of the things you received, like, how long did that feeling of elation last? The world is fleeting. The world offers us so much that just doesn't satisfy our hearts, but for some reason we listen to lies like, oh, that'll make me happy, that'll make me happy, and that'll let me be who I'm called to be, that'll satisfy this ache in my heart. But today we're encountering one of the most powerful stories in the gospel, and the thing is, for a lot of us, we have to know that we are all the woman at the well. That's the whole purpose of this gospel. So Jesus is exhausted. He's tired. And the word for the exhaustion that's used is the same that's used in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, which a lot of us, for some reason, we just find peace with it. What is Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Is when Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are exhausted, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. So Jesus is inviting us, each of us today by name, to come to him. And he's waiting in his exhaustion. And the question is, like, what is he exhausted from? He's exhausted from being rejected by the world. Are people not accepting the invitation to faith in him, to salvation in him? And that's some of us. It exhausts him. But the thing is, he encounters this woman at the well, and it's about noon. And every single detail in this gospel is to point us to conversion, to point us to repentance, to point us to change, to know what will truly satisfy our hearts, will truly satiate us. So it says that it's about noon. And noon means that the sun is shining directly over the top of them to reveal the truth in its many facets. So the woman comes at noon, and if a woman came at noon to get water, it meant she was an outcast. She too was rejected. She too was exhausted. She's carrying this yoke on her shoulders with water jugs because she's not accepted, because as Jesus said earlier, she had five husbands. She's considered dirty, impure. She's one of those women. And she's with a man that isn't even her husband now. And she comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks her for a drink. Could it be that Jesus is talking in a metaphor rather than asking for a drink? Because the sun is shining over this well, and this well is not full of good water. It's dirty water. What is Jesus really asking for? He's asking for her faith. He's asking for her belief. The thing is, how Jesus got there is so strange. We looked at context last week, the importance of context. Jesus literally goes 33 miles out of his way to come here on his journey when you follow the scriptures. Like, I don't know if you've ever had to go out of your way to go do something and to go meet someone, but just as he wanted to come just for the woman, he also wants to encounter just you tonight by name. And he wants to bring light into all that is not satiating us, is not actually satisfying us, but is actually exhausting us. So Jesus is this man who is rejected. He's exhausted. But then he meets this woman who's rejected and is exhausted. And what happens is they began to lock eyes and see who they truly are. Like, Jesus sees himself in this woman, exhausted, rejected, and she sees herself in Jesus. And that's the whole point. And as Jesus is with her, she's kind of talking, you know, like, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink, because they have nothing in common? But the thing is, they have everything in common. They both are rejected. They both are exhausted. They're outcasts. And they have everything in common. So Jesus asks her for a drink, and he says, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God. And the question is, what is the gift of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Did anyone here tonight raise your hand and say, the greatest gift I ever received was the Holy Spirit? One. There's the problem. A lot of us have never truly received or even thought of the Holy Spirit being the greatest gift I could ever receive. So when the Holy Spirit starts working on this woman's heart and she starts moving from these earthly things to heavenly things, she says, "Sir, give me a drink of this water." But what has to happen is she has to repent of her sin. So Jesus draws the sin out of her heart as he wants to draw the sin out of your heart and my heart so he can pour his Holy Spirit into us fully. Like, what happens when she receives the Holy Spirit? She now identifies with Jesus and not her sin. Question. How many of us sitting here tonight identify with our sins more than Jesus? That's the invitation tonight. To identify totally with the person of Jesus and knowing you don't have to worry about him rejecting you because he's been rejected. He actually seeks those who are lost. He seeks those who are going to these places. He goes out of his way to encounter you, and he can encounter you anywhere. Just heard the conversion story of a gentleman this weekend who was just the woman at the well, right? Hiding, living in shame, living with this desire in his heart. The deeper desire was he just wanted to hear his dad say, "I love you and I'm proud of you." Because he never heard those words and was affirmed in his manhood, it came to partying in college, womanizing, and then marrying a woman and living a double lifestyle, making $250,000 a year, you know, just at that well, right? And then he was doing a lot of drugs, found himself addicted to cocaine, and just eventually led into just looking at pornography all evening and drinking and cocaine and pornography, he would say. Drinking, cocaine, pornography every night. And it led him to a point in his life where he was supposed to go pick up his little boy, hiding again from his wife and his family, all this shame, all this guilt. And he always said, "I wish I could tell someone." And he went to the gas station after he went to his drug dealer. And he heard, "Whoop, whoop." And it wasn't someone cheering him on. It was the police. It was the DA. And it was in the well of being in a prison cell where he finally surrendered his life to Christ. This woman is at rock bottom. And for some of us, whatever reason, it takes us to come to rock bottom. But you don't have to go to rock bottom to repent and to receive this life-giving water. You can make that change now. And notice how when this woman identifies completely with Christ and she's not judged, like what's happening is Jesus is revealing to her the emptiness in this well of her decisions. But he's saying it doesn't have to be that way. He's thirsty for her faith. He's thirsty for her to identify with himself. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, she drops her jug. That jug is everything to her. It's all she has. It's what she identifies with. It's a symbol of her sin. It's a symbol of your sin and my sin. So the question also tonight is, like, what jug are you carrying tonight that the Lord's like, "Trust me. Let it go." Because you know how hard it is to move fast and do things when you're carrying a boulder on your shoulders of shame, of guilt, of feeling rejected. And Jesus can do the heavy lifting. It says, at the moment she realized that he was the Messiah, he was the Christ, which is the Holy Spirit showing up, she goes and tells all her friends about the living person of Jesus, and they come to faith in that. So the question is for us also, why are we not telling people about Jesus on this campus? If he has the answers, if he has the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit, which he actually wants to give us, but it happens also through our witness. Like, she's the one who is an outcast. She's rejected. And then she goes out and she tells other people, and she goes from this rejected, outcast, lukewarm woman and brings other people to faith. The question is, why are we not being filled with the Holy Spirit? I think for a lot of us, it's because we have free will and we rationalize our sin. Well, it's not a big deal if I go on my phone. Just read a study from 2016, so 8 years ago, and it said people touch their phones up to 2,600 times a day. Isn't that a little bit embarrassing? Just saying. I don't struggle with that ever, so no big deal there, right? but it's an empty well. And some of us say, like, oh, my sins aren't, it's not a big deal. Like, I might go to my room and lock the door and look at some impure things on the internet. But the thing is, like, why do you have to hide to go do that? That's like shame, right? Living in shame. And the hard thing is sometimes, for some of us, we've numbed ourselves completely to the reality of how like detrimental our sin is and how much it's weighing us down. And we just say, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt anyone. Is that true? All of our sins have a cost. St. Paul's letter to the Romans says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus wants to save us from that. But also, as he comes to save us from that, he asks for everything in return. There is no halvesies with Jesus. Like, if you met your spouse, would you want them to be like, you know, let's just talk like 10 minutes a day or maybe 10 minutes a week? You can do your own thing. I don't care if you hook up with other people. Like, no big deal. Like, I'll also be like, I don't want that. I want someone who's totally committed to me. And that's what Jesus is doing here in the gospel. Is as this woman has five husbands, the sixth man is not her husband. But who is she with? The seventh man. And we know, if we know our faith, seven is a number of perfection. Seven is a number of fulfillment. And Jesus is the one for all of us. He's the only one who can satiate us. And what he wants to do is give us the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? How do we be set on fire so we don't give a rip what other people think about us on campus and tell them the truth about maybe where their lifestyle is? Like, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? You ask. Does that sound too simple? The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I may not be thirsty." He said, "Don't keep coming out here and living in shame. I want to live in my identity with you, Jesus, the Messiah, instead of my sin and my shame." And I'm also just sick and tired of being sick and tired. When I was in seminary, I made it a goal, kind of a psycho in seminary, just weirdo, but we had to make formation goals every year. And I'm not the smartest guy. My first year, my goal was to learn how to pray the St. Michael prayer. Didn't know it. Probably should not have been accepted to seminary, but here I am. And then as I went forward and just learned more about the faith, one of my goals was just to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'd be driving to places and I'd be singing Veni Sancte Spiritus, which means come Holy Spirit. I'd be praying come Holy Spirit all day long. If you wonder where I get my energy from, it's from the Holy Spirit. So wonder how I learned how to detach and be healed from the opinions of others. It's the Holy Spirit. And I think just a lot of us, we have to come to know that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us places maybe we were not comfortable going. But Jesus, again, goes 33 miles out of his way to encounter this woman as he wants to encounter you wherever you're at. And he wants to draw the death out of you, those dead sins out of you. And he doesn't judge them, but he wants to fill you with his life and set you free. And freedom doesn't mean, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. Like, freedom will give you the grace to do what you ought. To do what you ought. And there are so many people on this campus, and maybe it's even you sitting here, you're just sitting at that well and you're just like, Lord, would you just send somebody to me? Would you send me a friend? Would you send somebody to me who can get me out of this rut so I don't keep falling into these traps? And that's what we're called to do, is also be Jesus to others who are carrying this heavy weight around. And like, wouldn't it be weird if people are just carrying this weight around and we actually had the solution? We actually had someone who could lift that off of them and set them free. But we didn't tell them about it, about the person who could actually do that. The devil loves keeping us lukewarm, but the Lord wants to set us on fire. So what are the dead wells that you keep going back to? What is the dead weight you're carrying on your shoulders that Jesus wants you to drop tonight? Because if we leave here unchanged, that's not God's fault. That's on you. And if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you keep finding yourself going back to these dead wells, and you know it's wrong, and you're sick and tired, I don't want to go back there, I don't want to go back there. Like, how's that going for you? 2,600 times a day touching my phone. Gossiping about other people, and I call myself a Catholic. And I'm not even trying to repent, or I'm avoiding the sacrament of confession, or I'm avoiding going to daily mass and Bible study and discipleship. I'm avoiding everything that's going to pull me away from this dead well. Like, how's that going for you? Like, wouldn't it be beautiful just to see this campus set completely on fire? That's the invitation tonight. Be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. To leave whatever dead weight you're carrying around at the foot of this altar when you receive the God of the universe and the Holy Eucharist. This is like the story. When we talk about doing this series right now, this preaching series called No Turning Back, this is the prime example of what it looks like. For someone who used to identify completely with their sin, but through their encounter with the living person of Jesus, now identifies completely with him as the Holy Spirit just totally helps them see that they're so similar. They're so similar. Rejected, exhausted, rejected, exhausted. Outcast, outcast. And people, as she went to go share the living person of Jesus, and she just said, come at the man who told me everything I did. They're all like, oh, we know what you've done, right? They know what kind of lifestyle she's lived. And she doesn't care. She's free. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if you want the Holy Spirit, you just got to ask. But you got to keep petitioning. You got to be real. You have to make a resolution to change. You have to make a resolution to not go back. And your wills, when they are united with Christ's will, that's what we call holiness. And the thing is, there's nothing more attractive than holiness. When your will and God's will become one, that's what holiness is, and there's nothing more attractive than holiness. And then you will draw other people out of their dead wills to the cross, to the power of the resurrection, to the sacraments, to knowing that it's really Jesus on this altar, and in confession, you are truly forgiven. Then you have the grace to forgive yourself and forgive others and walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for us. So I'm just going to invite you. Like, just take a moment of silence. And if you want the Holy Spirit, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're like, Lord, I hear you. You're inviting me to come to you. Say, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, are exhausted, and I will give you rest. Like, Lord, I'm tired. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to just unbind us, to break those chains, to give us the grace to shed that dead weight so we can leave here with a greater desire to set this campus on fire. But if you're okay with carrying the dead weight, if you're okay with going to that dead well and living in shame, you can stay there. But the beautiful thing is tonight, you don't have to. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.